And welcome, friends, to this morning's edition of the Grace Hour. The Grace Hour is that daily broadcast that helps you as a believer delve a little bit deeper into your faith and hope you learn about your faith in a more practical way in your life. Great to be with you on this Wednesday morning edition of the Grace Hour. My name is Pastor John Love. I'm joined in the studio today with Pastor Barry Quirk. And today, well, we're going to continue our subject, our theme this week for the Grace Hour, which really is the subject of submission. And again, we're going to clarify and define what that word means. And today we'll be looking specifically at, you know, how do I submit in terms of my local assembly? What's my role in my position and when it comes to submitting to church leadership? And what if I have a problem with those in leadership in my local church? And what if I bring those issues to their attention and I get the feeling that they just don't listen to what my concerns might be? What should I do? Be time to leave? Find a new church? Well, that could be somewhat of a pattern that I could easily develop in my life, because let's face it, as long as you're dealing with other people, there's going to be disagreements. So how do we navigate our way through them? And how can we look to resolve some of those issues? Because church life is an important matter for every born-again believer. That is those, of course, that see church life as important. And I think that we do. And those of you tuning in and listening, I think you understand the value of church life as well. So this subject of submission, and again, we're going to define that. And don't let that word frighten you or scare you off. Don't turn your podcast off today. Stay with us. We'll help to shed some more light on this all-important theme. And we invite you to join us. We'll keep the phone lines open throughout the broadcast today, and you can join us whenever you would like to. To do so, just get to a phone, dial one of these numbers. The toll-free number in all of North America, that's an 800 number, and it's 800-338-7060. Once again, 800-338-7060, anywhere and everywhere in North America. And the local number here in the greater Baltimore area, if you'd like to join us, we hope you will, 410-483-3700. And again, we welcome your phone calls. And again, if you want to email us, you can do that. The email address here is questions@gracehour.org. But we want to thank you for being with us on this Wednesday morning. And don't forget to subscribe to the broadcast on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And of course, we'll be back tomorrow for the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour, and then we'll wrap things up on Friday. We do want to mention that tonight, this being Wednesday, of course, is our midweek service here at the Greater Grace World Outreach right here in Baltimore. And we'd like to invite you to come out and join us for our midweek service, which begins promptly at 7 p.m. A great time of fellowship, worship, and a message from the Word of God that will be certain to encourage you in your walk of faith. So give us not only a call on the broadcast today, but if you're able to, come out and join us tonight at 7 p.m. And we'll get things started promptly at that time. Plenty of parking, a well-lit parking lot. There's a security team here that's top-notch, and make sure everybody gets in and out very safely. And, of course, a great time of fellowship. So if you can make it out tonight, please come on out, be our guests. Well, again, the subject of submission. And Pastor Barry, as we delve into this theme, of course, first and foremost, the Scriptures make it very clear that you and I are to be submitted to God. And then we read the importance of being submitted to civil authorities, those that are placed in positions of power in government, and again, the civil authorities. And then we are to submit to those in leadership of our churches, and even to one another, and even to the extent that we esteem others better than ourselves. So this whole business of submission, it's important. The Bible has a lot to say about it, and well, we're going to, you know, talk about it today in the broadcast.
Yeah, it's a great topic. I think practically speaking, people want to find a church where they are edified and ministered to, hopefully challenged, hopefully not just by the message, but by the life of those that they are in conjunction with in the church. And that word submission can be a scary word if we don't have the premise of trust and humility and, you know, to know that submission to somebody whose care over me is designed to help me grow and develop in the faith is different than submitting to somebody who is trying to lord themselves over me.
Yeah, and that's so important, and that can be like the groundwork, the foundation that we can build on today, because in so many people's minds, submission means slavery.
Yes, exactly.
But, you know, that's not what submission is. It's rather the recognition of God's authority in our lives. Mm. You know, God wants each one of us to be able to exercise authority, but before we can exercise authority, we have to come under authority.
Yes.
Satan's offer to Adam and Eve in the garden in the book of Genesis was freedom without authority. But what happened when they took that offer? the bottom line was they ended up losing both freedom and authority.
Wow.
So again, there are dangers associated with this whole business of authority as well. But again, if you want to exercise authority in your life, you've got to come under it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting that in Hebrews 13, which, you know, one of the great verses on submission to authority says to obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. And I think in the case of Adam and Eve, there wasn't a counsel to submit so that they could have their souls prosper, but so that they could be separated from the one who does have their souls prosper. Mm. So, you know, when we consider submission in a way that's going to be beneficial to us, when we submit ourselves to true authority, and by the way, you know, voluntary, submission is voluntary, right? It's not an enforced thing where we, you know, we get before the Lord and the Lord gives us pastors after his own heart. You know, we are led in the Spirit and brought to a place where we trust God that we have been placed in the body of Christ by his direction and in a place where we can receive from the pulpit by truth, but it's voluntary. We have submitted ourselves to that. And with the knowledge that where I've submitted myself will be under somebody who has care over my soul, and then those people are accountable to God for those decisions. And if we have true authority with people who are accountable to God and in humility are concerned with the care of my soul, boy, that's a good situation.
Yeah. Well, what should we do? Let's say, for instance, we'll try to create this scenario and again ask our listeners anytime during the broadcast if you'd like to weigh in and share your thoughts about it. When I have an issue with those in positions of leadership in my local church, and I have a problem, and I'm trying to deal with something. What if I go to them, and they don't see the problem the same way I see it? I mean, you know, you can just imagine that, you know, conflict is right around the corner.
Sure.
In many cases, conflict that has led to some people just leaving their local churches, and it's always because of something that was just not listened to, wasn't answered directly, wasn't even addressed in some issues. I mean, how do we avoid those kinds of conflicts in our local churches?
Yeah. Well, I think there's a few things that obviously affect the way that we try to resolve conflicts or problems. I think one of the biggest things is, what is my heart attitude in doing it? You know, is there humility in my heart? If I have humility in my heart and I'm going, my motive for going to the leader is love, and it's truly that I feel that there has been a disconnect with the things of God, I have to go with humility as well. You know, I'm asking the pastor to hear me in humility, and I need to be humble in how the answer comes as well. You know, the resolution to conflict, sometimes I don't have the full picture. You know, sometimes I ask a question because I have a perception or a concept, and I receive an answer that maybe addresses something bigger than what I see. Now, there's also times where I just have a sincere difference. And, you know, how does that affect us? Well, there are a lot of things that could happen. You could leave a church because of conflict, or maybe you could see yourself as still having been selected to be a part of that body of Christ, still having a portion in that body of Christ, and maybe the fact that you will vote with your feet, not just your lips, but you're going to say, well, I could be part of the solution. I could operate in a way that I know God, it would be pleasing to God, and that might be an example for others.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many different scenarios that, you know, and so many different sets of circumstances that we might not be aware of if somebody has this kind of conflict and they go to church leadership and
right. They
don't find it resolved. I mean, you almost have to be, you know, this objective party that is able to listen to both sides of the story
and
try to make a proper evaluation based upon the facts that have been presented to you. But sometimes you don't get all the facts. And
correct.
You get that one side, and it sounds so unfair and unjust that you want to rule and you want to make a decision at that moment, but you're really not in a position to do that.
Yeah, I mean, and we know from the conflict resolution that we have in the youth ministry or in the Christian school, there's three sides to every story. There's their side, the second side, and then the truth. And, you know, I think it does come down to the fact that do I believe that I am voluntarily submitting myself to a ministry where God has raised up for his benefit leaders who care for my soul? That's number one. You know, do I believe that I am called? I would hope that that's resolved before you ever come. You come, you find the pulpit. You find your place in the body of Christ. You find the place where you minister to, and oftentimes people do that. A little while later, maybe they get challenged. Something challenges them. The message maybe challenges them. The discipleship or the cross life maybe challenges them. You know, do I still see myself as having been called? Now, conflict or difficulties or troubles, you know, that's another whole thing. You know, the case of Aquila and Priscilla, you know, they had to correct Apollos in a way that Apollos came with a very genuine message and a real message, but it wasn't the full message. And God used them in a very private but very personal way to help him in his ministry. So there are cases where people can actually be helped who are leaders by the people that they are ministering to. But also there are places where God wants us to submit to something that's being taught. Maybe we don't have the full picture. We go, we have to trust God for the response that we get. And then, you know, from there, we believe that God will be faithful to his leadership. And we believe that God will be faithful to us as well.
God, those very enlightening thoughts, great, insightful information. And don't we have to kind of go into that situation when we're dealing with leadership, other people are involved? In the back of our minds, we have to remind ourselves, listen, I have a responsibility to endeavor to keep the unity
absolutely.
In the body of Christ.
Absolutely.
In other words, if we go into the conflict and we think, you know, I know this is going to be divisive and it's going to end up divided, that's really a poor motive to enter into conflict resolution with. You want to do everything you can to preserve, and you're not creating a unity. You're just preserving the unity that Christ has given you.
Absolutely. It's a great point, and I was just thinking about that. What is the motive for my correction, so to speak? If my motive is really to see the work of God be thrust forward, then I don't have a problem going in humility, going in privacy, going alone, addressing an issue. But if my motive is to make myself greater, you know, the old adage is you have two stakes next to each other. It doesn't make you any taller by pounding one into the ground, right? So if my motive is that I'm looking to be promoted in the kingdom and I want everyone to see how wise I am or what my portion is, well, then that's the wrong motive.
Yeah,
you know, and this is the whole principle of Matthew 18 and going alone and having decency and an order to it and being humble and actually hoping that the result of that conversation is something that can be profitable for the body of Christ and not just for me personally.
Incredible. What if that leadership in my local assembly, from my perspective, looks like they turned a deaf ear to my concern. They completely disregard the issue that I brought to their attention. What are my options? What can I do? What should I do?
Well, one of the challenging things is, you know, it might be difficult sticking with the church, even in the midst of its various problems, but often it's the best thing for the church. You know, a person who is walking with God and who is faithful to God, and there's a difficulty that arises, and he recognizes that because he's walking in God, and in humility he goes and he expresses that. Maybe God faithfully is calling him, and God will purify that church because he loves that church. That's what Malachi 3:3 says, right? That God deals with us based on his love. And, you know, first of all, I would say, who is the person that's coming? You know, it's so easy to see people who are critics that are on the sidelines in the grandstand. It's different when you have somebody who's in the arena, working shoulder to shoulder in the vision. And, you know, there's bound to be concerns that are brought up when we're in the midst of it. But the concerns from the people who are actively involved faithfully in the ministry have a lot more value than somebody who's sitting on the sidelines as a critic. So, yeah, I know the question was, you know, what do we do in that case? But before we ever get to the case, you know, where we see what the outcome is, we have to wonder, you know, what kind of people are coming forward. Somebody who's a critic and sitting on the sidelines and doesn't have any active part in it except for being a critic, well, I don't know what kind of results they're expecting. Are they expecting something just because they like the, you know, switch the TV channel, find another TV channel, you know, in a sense. But somebody who's involved in the ministry and has an active participation in the ministry and by function of being in the ministry says, hey, this is a challenge. Leadership, how can we fix this challenge? Is there humility? Can they go to the leadership? Can they trust that there's men of God? You know, in our church, we have a board of elders. That board of elders does not, you know, act. You know, I don't submit every action I have in the church to the board of elders and only do the things that the board of elders say. But they are commissioned to be with the pastor and to oversee, you know, those things that are commanded to us through his word. And there's liberty for me to be submitted, but I do trust that those are men of God who hear from God and on issues like the spiritual well-being of the church are going to be involved wholeheartedly in helping clarify what those decisions are. What is the biblical viewpoint for this issue? It's not just a finger in the wind, but it's men who are committed to know the structure of the word.
In an ideal world, of course, you have that kind of leadership established in every local church, which may or may not be the case.
Right.
But ideally, if you have that kind of a leadership, I suppose, prototype that's in place, you're in good shape because, again, yep. they're committed to the local assembly and everyone in it to succeed spiritually and be encouraged in their faith and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it safe to say that if we have issues, and in many cases, most of these issues are not necessarily about Bible doctrine.
Right.
They're just, in some cases, petty little issues. And but yet they really kind of get under people's skin and they really got to talk about it. They got to. But maybe the best thing to do, the first order of business, is to go to God first, you know, and seek God first. Is this something worth bringing to the attention of church leadership?
Yeah.
Or are they so, you know, involved in the ministry to such an extent that this is really doesn't even matter? It bothers me, but it's not really important on the bigger scale of things as far as, you know, the local assembly and what its real function and role is in the lives of people. But really, go to God first. A lot of these issues could be taken care of and resolved. I know personally from experience in my own past that there have been times I've had issues and I think to myself, I got to go talk to the pastor.
Yes.
I got to see somebody about this because, you know, it's got to be taken care of. And yet, if I find myself submitted to the local assembly, I go to church on a regular basis, I'm entreatable in my soul, mm-hmm. I welcome the word of God into my heart, even if the message can be challenging. Oftentimes what I have discovered is it's the message that has corrected me. The message has dealt with my issues, and I didn't even have to make that appointment to see that pastor or to sit down with that leader because God addressed it.
Yeah, 100%. I the best counselor, you know, someone asked me one time, have you ever gone to counseling? And I said, yeah, I mean, probably 28,000 sessions. You know, what do you mean 28,000? Well, there was the Sunday morning service, the Sunday evening service, the Wednesday evening service, all the wraps during the week, Bible school, the youth ministry, all of those times were being counseled by the word. I like this word objectivity, you know, divine objectivity. We have seen church splits happen over things like somebody doesn't like the color of the carpet. Somebody doesn't like the fact that, you know, in our church, we removed the Bible verses from the wall. And I remember when I saw that, I was like, oh, we took down the Bible verses from the wall? What are we doing here? The picture was we were going to have a new projection system that allowed us to change those verses on a weekly basis if we chose, to have a message theme, to have a holiday theme. It was so much better. But if I had lived in that subjectivity of somebody's making that decision who doesn't know the old landmarks, or, you know, so many times we just need to be objective and to see the picture in patience and to assume the best about people. You know, really, the Bible is pretty clear about the moral conduct of our leadership, right? And there's really the big three that we talk about where a leader could be removed or a leader is, you know, and it's really the message, like that the doctrine is bad, the morality, you know, maybe they're involved in some kind of an affair or something that is not within the confines of how they should be morally upstanding. And the third is like maybe financial accountability. You know, maybe they're not healthy with the Bible. Now, we are blessed that we're in a ministry that understands those things, and we put in safeguards. And the pastor will tell you that the board of elders and those who are surrounding him are there for his protection and for the body's protection, right, to protect the body. So do we have a measure of trust that there are a group of men surrounding our leadership or part of our leadership who know that they are accountable to God, right? First and foremost, they know that they are accountable to God. Somebody comes and brings a concern. They don't live above that. They don't say, no, we can't hear your concerns. We're the elders. But they say in humility, let us hear what you have to say. Now, the person who's issuing that concern also needs to be in humility and say, I've brought my concerns to a group of men who are men of God, who hear from God, who go to God, and in humility want the same thing that we want, which is a healthy church. They really do want a healthy church. If it's about having a kingdom built unto myself, then there's going to be plenty of reasons to be offended.
Yeah.
And, right?
Yeah, and plenty of reasons to leave.
Plenty of reasons.
But as you said, you know, in terms of the moral character of those in positions of leadership, the way they're handling finances, and of course, if there's false teaching. I mean, now those are reasons and justification to leave a local church, okay? Mm-hmm. Because the question that has been posed to us is, should I ever leave a church over a disagreement with its church leadership? Well, again, if there are violations in those three major areas, then yes, but if it's something insignificant, something petty, something trivial, like, you know, they put the church flag on the left side and the American flag on the right side, and that really bothered, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. That's because think about what would you be forfeiting if you left a local assembly that had great teaching, sound doctrine, wonderful fellowship all the time, lifelong friendships that, you know, you have enjoyed for, in some cases, decades. Do you want to walk away from all of that because of an issue that, you know, Jesus may be saying to you, you know, just accept it, just let it go or accept it and move on? That's an issue that's not worthy of losing your fellowship over in this local church.
Yeah, amen. What am I forfeiting for the sake of you know, what really could be something that God has a design to correct in his time. You know, I was thinking about this. Do we trust God? You know, do we trust God's direction? If you were a person that was with Joshua in Joshua chapter 6 at the Battle of Jericho, and you saw the fortress that was there, and you were told, listen, I talked to God, this is what we're going to do. We're going to walk around the walls, and we're going to do that for 6 days in a row. And then the seventh day, we're going to walk around seven times, and then we're going to blow in a ram's horn, a loud sound, and then we're all going to yell, and what's going to happen? The walls are going to tumble down, and we're going to defeat the enemy. You could have said, you guys are out of your mind. You're out of your mind. But that's exactly what God directed them to do. And did it get directed to them in a way that seemed logical to them? Did it get directed to them in a way that seemed understandable or that they had personal experience in? Not at all. But did God have a defeat waiting to happen for the enemy? Absolutely. So our obedience to the voice of God sometimes causes us to have to put our trust in a way that is above our natural. Now, you mentioned, you know, is there ever a time to leave the church? Of course there is, but do we place ourselves in submission voluntarily and then give God an opportunity to make correction before we just bounce? Because if we are getting into a habit of just bouncing and we're never deciding, maybe I could be a part of the solution, maybe God is using me to help in an area that's going to better the body of Christ, what area of our life are we not going to do that in?
Yeah.
Is it going to be our job? Is it going to be our marriage? Is it going to be, I don't like the way this is going, I'm out.
Yep. I mean, submission is a way of life. People submit to their employers all the time.
Yes.
If you're in school, you're submitting to an administration, a staff, you're submitting to teachers. If you live in a somewhat of a normal society, you have to submit to local authorities. I mean, imagine, you know, driving down the street at a rate of speed that violates the speed limit, the posted speed limit. You're pulled over by a police officer and you don't submit to his authority.
Mm.
That could end up in a very serious conflict where you may be put in jail and handcuffed and you know, put behind bars because you refuse to submit.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just say, I felt like going 70 miles an hour in a 35 mile an hour speed zone.
Yeah.
You just can't live that way.
Yes.
Soldiers have to learn how to submit to those in authority over them in the military. I mean, you could go on and on and on. This is life.
Yeah.
This is life.
Yes.
Submission is a part of it. And if you want that authority in your life, you've got to submit to the authority that has been placed in your life. Again, are there abuses with any and all, in many cases, almost every aspect of authority? Of course there is.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking about those abuses. That's another broadcast altogether. But if you have those kinds of violations, and again, let me read what Tess has written to us, and she's writing to us from overseas. She says, good afternoon. I need some advice as to what to do since I joined this particular International Baptist Church. But in this ministry, I don't feel motivated to be going anymore as a member because the leaders are always promoting about raising money for birthday celebrations, gifts for the pastor and his family. And one more thing, food is served as a buffet after every service. It's like the highlight of the church. And the last time we were obliged to give monthly faith promise and give back my slip, once I filled out that monthly faith promise. I mean, okay, all right, maybe there's too much of an emphasis on asking for money and asking to support this program and that program. Well, if that's the case, that might be justification for you to approach the leadership in that church. Or you could approach it a different way. I can't give to everything, so I'm going to pray and ask God where I should give.
Yes.
And where my particular tithes and offerings should be directed to. I mean, it doesn't have to be an issue. You could approach leadership and see what their response is. I mean, you'd like to see that these things could be resolved. In some cases, they can be, but in other cases, they can't be.
Yeah, and you know, the bottom line is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 says, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. right? It's in the fear of God. The reason that I'm voluntarily submitting myself to that message is that I have the fear of God. Now, is the church perfect? No, it's not. It's far from it. But could the church be the perfect church for me? Yes, it could, because I'm called there. If I'm called there and it's an imperfect church and God is using me in my ministry to help maybe fortify them, I don't know the situation for that church. You know, maybe the people who are leading that church don't have the benefit of having the connection that, you know, we've had in some of our ministries where people are trained in Bible school and have mentoring and have a direct connection to a pastor who can give them advice and help them see what are the most important things. Maybe it's a church that's lost its savor. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of things, and we're very hesitant to make a judgment based on somebody's experience. However, we could say the church that you were called to doesn't exist anymore. Where are you going to get your fellowship? Well, maybe you're going for a season someplace that's keeping you involved in the Word, giving you a burden for the lost, giving you a burden for that church. Maybe your position in that situation is that you're going to be called to be a prayer warrior, to be behind the scenes fortifying them in the areas that you've had the blessing and benefit of being in a ministry that maybe has health in those areas. Let's see what God does. In the meantime, it's voluntary. You're a free agent. You know, nobody has the right to tell you have to stay there. But what is God's mind for me being in that situation? A lot of times we're in tough situations, but again, it's because God's called us to be there and we can be a blessing in the midst of those tough situations. We are pursuing God's mind for that situation. And, you know, God is faithful, but God is also sovereign in how he calls us. And sometimes he calls us in and sometimes he calls us out.
That's right. That's right. And of course, God can call people out, but you just want to be sure that God is the one who is leading you
absolutely
in that direction. You know, the other side of this coin is, and we've talked about church leadership and their role, their place. Can they make mistakes? Can they at times make wrong decisions? Well, of course they can. But we want to look on the other side of the coin. Sometimes people find reasons to leave local churches because they have an agenda. You know, and in many cases, they'll leave a local church and not immediately start to find another local church. It could be that there's a motive that says, you know what, I'd like to make a provision for my flesh.
Oh.
And the best way I could do it is by finding that something's wrong with my local church, or they did something wrong, or they dealt with me in a wrong way. I'm out of here. And I don't have an intention of finding another church because I want to be fed. I want to be ministered unto, I want my faith to grow, and I want to have a personal vision for my life. That's not why they're leaving.
And we have noticed it in our, you know, our sphere of friends, how many people have, in the name of a righteous declaration, found reason to leave our ministry, only to have no ministry in their lives. And before long, what used to be fellowship now becomes a desire for friendship, a desire for connection, a drinking buddy. The lifestyle dissipates, and before long they're out in left field because they chose to, maybe instead of going to the cross in a situation. And by the way, when we say that, you know, I know that somebody could say, you're telling me that I have to be in a bad situation, go to the cross. No, I'm saying let's get God's mind. We go to the cross to get God's mind. And God's mind, if it's really truly that this is a place where there has been serious abuse, serious problems, there's unwillingness to correct that. I've gone alone to the person. If I've gone alone and they don't receive it, I've gone with an elder and they don't receive it. We've tried everything we can. I've exhausted. And then I step away gracefully, right? But I also, as you just said, step away and into the active search to find the place where my soul is going to be ministered to, where I'm going to be challenged. I had a friend who, you know, one time left, and this was a person who was a great leader, you know, and he said, well, I'm leaving. I need to go somewhere else, and I'm going to go there. And I said, you're going to go there, or are you going to be the pastor there? Because God has a call on your life, and you could be submitted to somebody who's not going to fan that call in your life or recognize that call in your life, and you could be stepping outside the plan of God. But also, you could be an amazing leader. And maybe this is the chance for you to be raised up in God, but to be submitted to a place where you have the covering and the authority and the direction of God in your life.
Mm. You know, the accusation throughout the years when people, and I can only, you know, comment on our ministry because that's the one that I'm in, that we're in. But a lot of people, you know, you know, the problem is you can't leave your church. If you leave your church, you get marked and, you know, that's not, listen, you can leave any church you want to.
Yes.
But the real issue is, are you going to leave that ministry or that church, and are you going to go to another church where your soul can be fed? You know, when I see or meet people that have left our church or our ministry throughout the years, you know, it's great to see them. And I want to, where do you go to church? That's what I want to know. You know, yes. Are you getting fed? Are you sustaining your soul? Are you, you know, keeping that fire in your soul burning brightly? Don't let that flame go out, because who knows where it will lead.
Yeah.
You know, again, we don't have a problem. I don't think anybody should have a problem if somebody leaves a church, but they find another ministry that they're being led to go to. That's never a problem.
Not at all.
But if you leave a church and then you feel like you have to run it down and you have to be critical, you have to be negative, you got to go to the local newspaper and tell them that they did this and this and this and this, or you got to go to the TV and say, you need to do a story about them. They're terrible. They're bad. They're wicked. Look what they did to me. Come on.
Yeah. I guess the big question, and this is what I was alluding to earlier, is am I leaving a church or am I leaving a call? Because the call of God could be met in many different areas, right? And yes, I think there is a church that's perfect for me. I think there's a church that God calls me to. And in that calling, he challenges me, he corrects me, he encourages me. It's the place where I need to be. If there's, for some reason, it gets to the place where I can no longer be challenged, I can no longer be fed, the doctrine is wrong, the leadership has chosen ways that are not godly, then I can step away and I can go forward. But imagine if I spend all my time crusading about what's wrong with the place I left, I'm never going to have time to be rooted in the place where I'm going to. And if I'm not rooted and grounded in the place where I'm going to, I'm not going to grow beyond the wounds that I have in the old place.
Wow. It's so true. You think about it, you know, in the New Testament, I mean, Paul was addressing slaves. And he never said, and of course, this was because, yes, in the Roman Empire, people had servants. They had slaves. Now, praise God, in the New Testament, the gospel would eventually overthrow the Roman Empire and the terrible institution of slavery, even though the early church didn't preach against either one.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't preach against the Roman Empire, nor did they preach against slavery. But what's the practical application? Well, it may be directed towards employees today, right? Mm. We're working at that job. We don't like our supervisor. Mm-hmm. You know, we even refer to him as a slave driver. So I need to get out. Well, should you?
Mm.
Or should you find yourself before God saying, Lord, I'm here. Nothing can change at this time, so what's my place? I think God might say, submit and stay there and work hard and be a testimony and do it for the gospel's sake, do it for your own sake, and do it for the sake of the lost.
Yeah.
And who knows what kind of an impact you could have as you stay at that difficult workplace, that difficult place of employment, and you are a shining testimony for the glory of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, again, maturity, being able to hear the voice of God, you know, being faithful to come when it's time to come in and to go when it's time to go. You know, I really believe that God hand selects people and brings them into the work of God. And, you know, it's a heartbreaking thing to see somebody leave for the reason that they can't overcome something. I just think, you know, there's an opportunity, and if there's really humility on the part of the person and really humility on the part of the leadership, and the whole concern is based around the betterment of the body of Christ, I find there's got to be a place where we can have a resolution.
Absolutely.
You know, there's got to be a way.
Yep. Let's go. We have a couple callers. Let's take Janine's call first. She's joining us live from Virginia. Janine, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Well, welcome to you guys. I'm so thrilled to be able to call in this morning. Thank you, thank you. And my heart was just resonating with everything, Pastor Love, that you and Pastor Barry were sharing. Because I believe that the one thing that Greater Grace and originally the Bible Speaks taught us was the necessity of corporate body fellowship and having a local church. And as both of you know, I was up there in Baltimore, and it was the most awesome time. But then God, in 2019, led me to come down to Richmond, Virginia. And I did not have a church, and I do not have a Greater Grace. And that's near me, anyway. Culpeper is a good 2 hours away from me one way, so that's not really local. But I, you know, so I left there, and it was just so awesome because you guys even prayed over me before I left, and I really felt like I was being sent by as a representative from of Greater Grace down here. And if we want to talk about churches going through difficulties, the Lord led me to a Baptist church that has a real focus on missions. Well, okay, so it's not been 3 years that I've been here. Well, we have our pastor decided to join the police force in the local community up here. And he is now in his fourth week of police academy. So that was definitely God's call for him. And so and then numbers of people, we've lost all the families with children. We're sending out families out on missionary teams. And so, you know, it's like, okay, so Lord, and he was such a great Bible teacher. And I said, Lord, do I stay? And he said, yes, I have a role for you in that church. And doors have been opening and God has been so faithful. So I just encourage anyone who, like you folks were there earlier, if there's a hard time, This is God's call to you for the assembly that he's placed you in. It's kind of like the church on earth today. I mean, look at how much darkness there is, especially in our own country, in our own cities and schools and communities and government. And what, do we abandon because the time is tough? No, this is what God has designed us for and cultivated his word in us. And so I just want to encourage those who may be feeling, you know, our worship team disappeared, our children's ministry disappeared, our pastor, but he's following God. And I know that. And I know that God has someone. It might take 2 years or whatever, you know, to find that person, for that person to show up. But the scripture that the Lord gave me was occupy till I come. Just
beautiful.
Occupy.
Yeah.
And I learned that at Greater Grace.
Yeah. Beautiful. No, you're a perfect testimony, Janine, about someone who's left, you know, had to, because God led you to leave this local assembly, and you're going to another local assembly and contributing and finding out what your portion, your gift, your talent, ability is, offering it, bringing it to the table, making a difference in people's lives. So praise God. Praise God. It's just, you're the ideal example of what we're talking about.
Keeping it burning hot in your heart. That's an amazing point.
Amen. Thanks, Janine.
You are welcome. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Great to hear from you. Let's go up to Jenny next. She's up in the Berkshires, I believe. Jenny Perry is joining us live in the Grace Hour. Jenny, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I love this, what you're saying. It's saturated with honor and love towards delegated authority of in whatever capacity, you know, in the home, in a church, in any regard. And Janine is actually an example of what I wanted to say. You know, I think the big thing is what is my motivation for going to someone in delegated authority if there's a problem? And what is my motivation for leaving a church? Her motivation, obviously, was first and foremost a love for God. And did everything decently and in order, and as a result got blessed, and there's fruit from that. And we could do, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails. And But early on in the broadcast, I kept thinking about Noah in Genesis 9 when he got drunk. And I think this is such an illustration of what you're talking about. So he got drunk. Where was it here? Verse 21, he got drunk and he was naked. And Ham discovered him first. Ham discovered him, and it says he glanced at his father. He saw the nakedness of his father, and right away he told his two brothers outside. So Ham saw, he maybe processed it in a certain way, and then he talked. Mm-hmm. He spoke. But those words, I don't know, I just get this feeling that those words were not motivated perhaps by they were not motivated by love. They were motivated perhaps by self-righteousness. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, Shem and Japheth, they heard the report. They said there's no record of them saying anything. They took the garment, put it on their shoulders, and right away started walking backwards. You can just kind of picture it. They never, in verse 23 at the end, it says they never saw their father's nakedness.
Wow. That says
they
it
never
all.
Saw it. And so they were no words. It was just an action that was motivated by love. Whereas Ham had words that and no action to help his father, only to expose his father even more. And I think that is such a lesson that if, like Pastor Barry, I believe as you said, the first step is to go to God. Mm-hmm. And undoubtedly, if we go to the Lord when we have a difficulty with anybody above us in delegated authority, the motivation, the advice, the counsel that the Lord gives us will be saturated with love.
There you go.
And undoubtedly will succeed.
Well said, Jenny. We're going to close the broadcast on that note. Thank you for calling, and thank you so much for sharing that. It sheds so much more light on our subject and our theme.
Oh, thank you. I love you both.
We love you, Jenny.
God bless you. Pastor Barry, thanks. It's an important discussion to have regarding leadership and our place, our role in relationship to leadership, and you know, what justifies going and bringing our concerns to them, what justifies perhaps even leaving a local church. So some great thoughts, some practical wisdom. Hope you enjoyed it, friends. We're going to be back tomorrow for the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour, and we hope you'll join us then. Until then, may God bless you.